Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com, New Year's Eve 2020. I got a message from the leader, from Rebel One. Rebel One. He's excited. He's as excited as we are. Rebel Leader One says it's the operations moving forward. And the good news is there's a lot of people on the net. They're all talking to Rebel Leader One. And Rebel Leader One has given a consistent message across the board. Everybody knows who Rebel Leader One is. He's the dude that rose from the dead. He's the guy that rose from the dead. He is the leader of the resistance. He is the leader of the revolutionary movement. He's the leader of the freedom fighters. Jesus Christ is. Rebel Leader One, he rose from the dead. Merry Christmas, everybody. Knock, knock. Emmanuel, God with us. God, we celebrate the birth of God with us, Jesus Christ. And this liberation movement is a movement that is going to wipe out the enemy. I'm excited. We are going to move forward. The church is finally waking up. I'm absolutely convinced that the church is finally waking up. So Rebel Leader One's on the march. His troops are on the march. It's a big wake-up call. What's going on? Last time we talked, I talked about crossing the Rubicon. I said the Rubicon's already been crossed. It's got nothing to do with Donald J. Trump. It's got nothing to do with the President of the United States. They crossed the Rubicon. They have told us that our vote doesn't matter, our lives don't matter, our opinions don't matter, and that our opinions will be shut down everywhere we speak them. We either there's one approved voice. It's the narrative. Whether it's approved by the universities, by MSNBC, by Fox, by CNN, by New York Times, by Washington Post, the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, the John McCain Republican Party, the Mitt Romney Republican Party. We reject you. We reject that. You crossed the Rubicon. You've told us that our vote doesn't matter and our voice will be silenced. We're done. And we got a leader. Our leader rose from the dead. Rebel Leader number one. We are all listening to him. We're marching to his tune. We hear his voice. And he says it's time to go. I look across the websites that I frequent, and a few of them are explicitly Christian, but not many. But let me tell you something. Over the last 6 months, after the last year, I've seen more and more and more men come out and talk about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Even on these supposedly non-Christian websites, we're ticked. And we're not taking this land down. All you've done is awaken a giant. Think about the Japanese in World War II. When, if you remember the movie Tora, 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 and the Japanese admiral said, oh boy, we've awakened a sleeping giant. Hello. Hello, you ain't seen nothing. We haven't even, we're just starting to wake up. And there's 10,000 voices out there that are singing the same song, saying the same thing. We've heard from Rebel Leader One. He says, it's time to march. It's time to go forward. The church is waking up. There'll be a bunch have already fallen away. I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about the Judeo-Christians. Elevate their traditions above the Word of God. Elevate their precepts above the Word of God, saying you can't be this, you can't be that, you can't say this, you can't say that because it's offensive to the Antichrist. Leaving you behind, leaving you in the dust. We're done. And the beauty of this movement is there is a leader. There's an absolute leader. Rebel Leader One is our leader, and he communicates with us. And you can't stop Rebel Leader One because he already rose from the dead. The dude rose from the dead. You can't stop him. Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he fought with the totalitarian system. He fought with the Jews. He fought with the Pharisees. He fought with a system that did everything they could to suppress dissent, including death. He dealt with social justice warriors. He dealt with them. He dealt with the Sauls, at whose feet the murderers lay their cloaks while they stoned Stephen. Rebel Leader One has already dealt with them. This isn't new for him. This is not new for him. And it's time for his church to rise up and walk. And there's people that are going to walk away, which is fine. Gideon, story of Gideon. Little Gideon trying to mind his own dang business. Mind his own dang business. Trying to be a doggone great man. Finally, the angel of the Lord shows up, says, stand up, you're going to fight. He's like, "Who am I, Lord? I'm nobody." And he says, "I don't care. You're going to stay. You're going to fight. You're going to do it." And that call has gone forth to 10,000 American Christians. And we've heard his voice. Rebel Leader One has called us. And we've heard his voice, and we're going forward. And I am amazed at the unity of the message coming forth from these leaders. We don't even know each other. Once in a while, we cross-pollinate with our ideas. We cross-pollinate with our thoughts. We're all saying the same thing. We're all saying the same thing. And this will be a movement of Christians, by Christians, and through Christians. I don't mean Judeo-Christians. Forget them. We have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. He's dealt with these people before. He's dealt with the totalitarians. He's dealt with the people that said, "You can't say this, you can't say that." He's dealt with the people that will murder in order to stop the message from going forth. Ain't nothing new to Rebel Leader One. He's our king. He's our God. Yeah, they murdered him, but he rose from the dead. This is a liberation movement. It's a liberation movement from a totalitarian regime led by Satan himself. And he's got the little seeds of the serpent running around doing his bidding. And the lies are nothing to them. They won't stop at lies. They'll go right to murder. Okay, they went to murder when Jesus Christ was born. King Herod went out and he slew all the male children, 2 years age and younger, in that region. Killed them, murdered them, slaughtered them. Because Jesus, he knew Jesus, he knew the Messiah was born. And that was a threat to him. They didn't stop. They didn't say, "Oh, he's the Messiah. We got to let him go." No, murder. Right to murder. Right to murder. If they murdered Jesus Christ, do you think they value your life anymore? What makes you think your life is more valuable than the life of Jesus Christ? And if the Antichrist murdered Jesus, if they sought to murder him as an infant, what makes you think your life is any more valuable? Wake up, Christian. You either got to get on the side of the Judeo-Christians, the Pharisees, the totalitarians, or you get on the side of Rebel Leader One. Rebel Leader One. And they fought against Jesus Christ. They fought against Rebel Leader One the whole time he was on earth. And they tried to trick him and trap him in his words. Because he didn't break the law. He wasn't out there murdering anybody. Not that he was against violence. Don't get me wrong. I've written a number of articles and done some podcasts and videos on Christian violence. It was Jesus Christ that built the whip, went into the temple and started whooping those boys, turning over their tables, driving them out, physically driving them out, kinetic action, kinetic energy. It was Jesus Christ that told the disciples, "Get some swords." He didn't ban them from violence. He said, "Get some swords." He commanded them, "Get some swords." And when time for kinetic action happened, I mean, Peter was ready, willing, and able. Lifted up the sword, chopped off old boy's ear. They said, "Nope, I'm going to permit them to murder me." He healed that guy's ear. And, you know, nobody could have touched Jesus Christ unless he let them. And he told Judas, the traitor, the betrayer of the king of the Jews. He says, "Do what you do and do it quickly." He was ordered to do what he was going to do and to do it quickly. They couldn't touch him until the Son of God gave them permission. And they murdered him, they betrayed him, and they murdered him, and he rose from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This is a liberation movement against the totalitarians, against the people that raise the precepts of the elders and the traditions of men above the Word of God. Make no mistake about it. The threat of Jesus Christ to the Jews 2,000 years ago was a political threat. Nobody's threatened by your singing club, Christian. Nobody cares about your singing club. And when you get done singing, the pastor says a couple nice words about what? Nope. This is for all the marbles. This is for all the marbles. We're going to build Christian nations. By God, we're going to build Christian nations. And we're not going to apologize. We're not going to stop. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to listen to your lies. We're not going to try to get along. And we're not going to shut up. And we're not going to sit down. And we're not going to color within the lines. We've done that. And look where it brought us. The manipulation of the Pharisees constricted men from doing anything without the permission of the Jews, of the Pharisees, of that the religion of the Jews, Judaism. Yeah, they kept the Ten Commandments around. They kept that around. Oh, yeah, we like Moses. We like Moses. They denied Moses. Jesus Christ said that. He said, if you had believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. And so the Judeo-Christian church today has done the same thing. Oh, yeah, we like the Bible. Keep it around. Keep the Bible around. You know, it looks so pretty. But when it comes right down to it, they take their own traditions and they'll elevate it above the Word of God. That time's over. And it's exciting. So Christmas Eve Day, we celebrate the birth of our King. This is a political movement. Make no mistake, this is a political movement. Jesus Christ is our King. He's Lord, and we will build Christian nations. We will not stop. And it starts by opening our mouth. I'm the most cowardly man on the planet. I'll be right honest with you. And a lot of us are, a lot of us were. Gideon too, down in a hole, beating out the wheat, saying, I don't want anybody to see me. I want to be the great man. Completely cowed. Gideon was completely cowed. But the angel of the Lord has gone forth in this land, in the United States, Canada, Europe, New Zealand, Australia, and he's found 10,000 Gideons. He said, get up. Open up your freaking mouth. Start tearing down the idols that your own church worships. Call out the Judeo-Christians. Tear down the idols in your father's household. And we're doing it. We're doing it. And we're not going to stop. The beauty of this movement is we do have a leader, and you already killed him and he rose from the dead. You can't kill him anymore. This isn't a movement of this political party or that political party. It's 10,000 times 10,000 Christians. And you can't stop us. You stop one, there's 10,000 more right behind us. We're like the Hydra. Chop off our head, there's three more going to come out. So go for it. Chop our heads off. Three more will rise up. We will build a Christian nation in North America. So help me God. And everywhere where we want to. And people that are willing to serve Jesus Christ. We will do this. You Christians think your job is to placate the Antichrist. Why do you think that? Why do you think that? Why do you think it's your job not to be accused by the accuser of the brethren? Why do you think that's your job? Why is that the highest Christian morality? Why do you think it is that you got to roll around, mind your P's and Q's, obey, don't question, be a good little Christian, Christianette, Judeo-Christian, and don't let the Antichrist accuse you of anything? Have not you read about your King, Jesus Christ? Jews hated him. They were out to murder him and there to trap him in his words. They were there to trap him in his words because he wasn't breaking any laws. His problem was that he opened up his mouth. And there's too many Christians, pastors, whatever, that want the respect of the Antichrist so they don't open their mouth. Those days are over. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'll tell you for right now, I'm guilty of the same. But I saw the light, got orders from Rebel Leader number one. My mouth is open. Can't shut it. Not going to shut it. This is a political movement. We have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. That's what bothered the Jews. It was a political movement. Jesus Christ was a political movement. He threatened them and their nation and their power, and so they murdered him. That's why Herod murdered the babies when Jesus Christ was born. That's why the Pharisees murdered Jesus Christ and the chief priests and the elders and the rulers of the people and all the people themselves. They were all guilty. Let his blood be upon us and our children, they said. They murdered him. It wasn't just that Jesus Christ wanted to set up a singing club. If you want a singing club, you got your singing club. What good has that done? That church is not the salt and it's not the light. Look at our nation. For all the Christian activity in the world, and it's gone downhill. Sorry, your turn's done. Game over for you. We're pushing by you. We're blowing right through you. How did they attack Jesus? They tried to trap him in his words. Every time they tried to trap him in his words. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the Word of God. How are you going to trap the Word of God? He's God Almighty. He's God in the flesh. You can get to trap him in his words, but that's what they tried to do. They tried to trap him in his words with their traditions and their precepts. Oh, you said this. Jesus said that. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. Based on what? Based on their traditions and their precepts. That's what they try to do today. You're racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. Shut up. You can't be those things. Oh, you want a wall? It's racist. You marriage is between a man and woman only? Oh, that's you're homophobic. You can't say that. And so they elevate their traditions above the word of God. I'm telling you, let me just tell you something. When you get rid of the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, nothing after that even matters. And the church has been willing to compromise that in order to achieve the agreement with the Antichrist, the people that hate Jesus Christ. Why? Is that worth it to you? Is that worth it to you? Why do you want to have the favor of the Antichrist and not the favor of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ never positions himself to be acceptable to you or me or anybody on the planet. In fact, he does just the opposite. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, otherwise you can have no part of me. Hundreds of people turned around and walked away. 12 guys are left sitting there going, wow, that was pretty heavy. Jesus said, hey, man, you want to leave too? He said, we don't have anywhere to go. Jesus Christ is not interested in positioning himself so that he is acceptable to you or me, not to his church, not to the Antichrist. Blessed is he who does not stumble over me, Jesus said. Blessed is he who does not stumble over me. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, otherwise you can have no part of me. He's the rock of offense. He is the stone, the cornerstone that the builders rejected. And you're either going to fall on a rock or the rock's going to fall on you. Jesus Christ is offensive. Get over it. It's not our job to position ourselves so that we're not offensive to you. And that's very liberating. It's very liberating. And we've got that message. We've heard that message from Rebel Leader number one. And those are our marching orders. Not going to shut up. Not going to sit down. Not going to be quiet. Make no mistake. The Jews killed Jesus Christ because he was a threat to their nation and their power. That's why Herod had all the kids killed. He had a dynasty. He wanted to preserve that. He didn't want it to go to the rightful king. Jesus Christ was king of the Jews. They betrayed him. But guess what? He's also king of every nation. And I'm no Jew, but by God, he's my king. He's the king of kings. He's the king of every race, every bloodline. And it's the job of those races, those bloodlines, to seek him out and make him their king. That's their job. And I'm specifically calling out men of European heritage. And I've gotten into that. I'm not going to get into that today. But there's a reason Paul was sent to Europe. There's a reason that the Holy Scriptures were written in a European tongue. There's a reason Jesus Christ told the Jews, hey man, when the king sends his son and you murder the son, the vineyard's going to be taken and given to a different ethnic group. Says it right there. Right there, Matthew. Right there, Gospel of St. John. So we're taking over. We're gonna claw back and build back a Christian nation. May not look like the United States in 1776. It won't. Certainly won't look like the United States in 2020. It won't. Don't know if you've got the message yet, guys, but this thing's falling apart really fast. And the Antichrist aren't gonna give up. They're not gonna give up. They cheat, they lie, they steal. You think they're going to stop? What you think they're going to say? Well, we can't go out and murder somebody. If they murdered Jesus Christ, do you think you're more valuable to them than Jesus Christ was? If they murdered Stephen, do you think you're more valuable than them than Stephen? They laid their cloaks at a good little social justice warrior named Saul. They laid their cloaks at the foot of a social justice warrior named Saul, who elevated the traditions and the precepts of man above the word of God, and they murdered Stephen. You think you're any more special? You think that you're righteous because they don't call you racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic? You think somehow you're more holy than Jesus Christ because they don't call you that? They looked at Jesus Christ and they said, you've got built, they even named the demon that they accused Jesus Christ of being full of. They said, it's this devil that you're in, that you're full of. Christ's response to them, he said, nope, my father's God Almighty. I'm the Son of God. Your father is the devil. Now, you want to make peace with these people, Christian? You want to make peace with them? You want to make peace with them. You want to make peace with the Pharisees, peace with the Antichrist, peace with the people that hate Jesus Christ. You want to make peace with them? Have you not read in the scriptures over and over and over and over that he tells his people, don't you make peace with these people? Don't you dare even think about making peace with them. And what do? They go out and they try to make peace with them. And what happens? They become enslaved by them. How much more is that story true in the United States of America from 1611 on forward? Christian people comes over here, Christian bloodline, Christian Englishmen, set up colonies, set up a new civilization, set up a new culture to serve God, to serve Jesus Christ in holiness and purity with all their heart. And it's been one compromise after another since then. The revolution, the American Revolution, compromise there. The ideas of the French and Enlightenment, French Revolution, it was pre-revolution, but the ideas were present. They very much had a place and part in the early in our revolution, in the ideology of the revolution. And then it goes downhill from there. We eventually simply give up and let the Pharisees take over, where the traditions of men are elevated above the Word of God. And now praying in the name of Jesus Christ is illegal. Praying in schools is illegal. Ten Commandments are illegal. How is that? Up is down and down is up. And to add insult to industry, you've heard me talk before what they're doing to the little kids in public schools now. It's time to rebel. Now, it's time. It's time. And the number one thing that we have to do is have moral courage. And that starts with not what's within your hands, but what comes out of your mouth and what comes out of your heart. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it turned the world upside down. When Jesus Christ spoke, it turned the world upside down. When his followers, when the followers of Rebel Leader Number One spoke, it turned the world upside down. It had profound political implications. There's going to be a great revival, but it's not going to be a revival where people are wandering around looking for gold dust falling out of the sky. It's going to be a fierce revival. It's going to be fierce, and blood. There will be blood. That's not because Fritz wants blood. Fritz is an observer of history. I'm an observer of history. This is the way it is. This is the way it works. Wars, civil wars, international wars, whatever you want to call it. All these people say, we're at the end of history. You know, we've got universal peace and brotherhood. Nonsense. More people are dying from wars now than, I don't know since when. And it's going to continue. There's some sorting out to do. And realize, they did not stop at murdering the King of the Jews, the Son of God. They did not stop at murdering Stephen. There's a reason that Roman candles are called Roman candles. They took the Christians in the arena in Rome, lit them up while alive, and they burned big torches. Saying over. But we've received our marching orders. Rebel Leader One is talking. He's been giving us orders. There's 10,000 of us. There's 100,000 of us. We're all hearing the same darn thing. This is a Christian movement where our King is Jesus Christ, and we're not going to stop. We're not going to give up. And you've had your turn. You've had enough. You crossed the Rubicon a long time ago. We're responding. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com, Christmas Eve 2020. Merry Christmas.